We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time!
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, 7 o'clock hour on a Friday night. We're getting ready for the Game 3 of the World Series to get rolling. Obviously, I want to talk a little Blues this hour. Got a little football for you. That includes some more on old Stan Kroenke. And we'll talk a bit about all of these things kind of spread out over the course of the hour. But I want to start with the one piece of news. We didn't have time to get to it yesterday because we had a short show. But the one piece of news in baseball that we haven't really touched on yet was Rob Manfred's comments about the Braves' tomahawk chop and all of that stuff. And you know, I do want to be clear that when I get into this, like, up front, this is not a rant and rave thing for me. This is not something where I'm pounding a table and demanding there must be change. I'm actually asking for people to be reasonable in all of this. And what I'm saying is this. The name Braves, to me, isn't the same as what Redskins was. It isn't the same as Indians. Now, first of all, Indians was just a dumb name because it was a historical mistake from hundreds of years ago. They weren't in India. But explorers screwed up. That's how the name started. And people just like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. So, to me, moving on from those was fine. I don't think the Atlanta has to change the Braves. The meaning of that name connotes something positive. It's not stereotypical. It's not anything negative. It's not something that's clownish or cartoonish. I mean, it's a description that a lot of us would like to have about ourselves, right? I mean, who doesn't respect someone who's brave, right? I know that Braves in the Native American culture, it's a little more detailed than that, but it's a respectful name. Chiefs is a respectful name. It's the person who's in charge, right? It's the boss. It's something, again, it's positive. It's a leadership role. We're not talking about, you know, just the description of the color of someone's skin. We're not talking about, just some stupid categorization of people that was never accurate to begin with. So I think Braves is fine. You know, I think a lot of the college teams that have tribal names, right? I mean, none of those tribes are upset about it, not that I'm aware of. And I think the line maybe needs to be drawn as to how you depict people in those tribes. Are you doing it in a cliche and corny / cartoonish way? Or are you doing it in a respectful way? But the name itself, right, like Seminoles, Illini, those names are not in any way disrespectful. I mean, they're just the name of the people. And I think it's something that even if you're generally opposed to the concept, I think you can buy that, you know, that's an area where it's not a big deal. So I want to be clear. Like, I don't think that Braves needs to change. It's not about that. And I don't think anybody that I've seen today is really trying to make that point. The thing that people are trying to make a point about is the tomahawk chop, which is, I mean, look, it's a stereotypical thing, right? You're like, oh, yeah. We're going to do the chant like the Native Americans, and we're going to do this thing like we have a tomahawk in our hand. And to me, it's just kind of childish. Like, can't we as adults just realize, okay, it's not that important. You know, if it helps some people feel a little bit better, is it really that big of a deal? Are you really going to miss going to a ball game? Are you going to really be sad going to a ball game if you can't do the chant and move your arm back and forth? I mean, really? I ask that of anybody. Is it really that big of a deal? And if it's not, and it really shouldn't be, just let it go. I just don't see it as that big of a deal. I mean, I understand that, you know, people that came through in the 90s, because the Braves thing, that wasn't even a thing with the Atlanta Braves until the 90s. And it came from Florida State. I don't know how long it goes back with the Chiefs, but I didn't look into that because we were talking about the conversation's been about the Braves the last couple of days. And again, this isn't something that we need to have a big scream fest about. We don't need to be yelling at each other. We don't need to be calling each other names or anything like that. I do think it's fair to just ask, though, at what point do we just do something to be nice? At what point do we say, yeah, you know what, this thing doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't really change your ability to enjoy your team. Because, you know, when your team is good, that's what you enjoy. When your team is not good, nobody's like, hey, let's go to the Braves game so we can do the chop. No, you're going to see the quality of the baseball team. And the better the team, the more people are going to go. And I think that, you know, that's where we get lost sometimes. Like, there's just such a strong opposition to the idea that somebody's telling me what to do. Just get over it, though. It doesn't matter in this case. It's nothing. It's a chant at a sporting event. Is it really worth putting up a big fight? Is it really worth saying, you know, oh, this is all whatever, whatever angry thing you want to say about it? I mean, I think it's probably just okay to be considerate and say, yeah, you know, there are people that hear that and see that, and it disturbs them because their culture has been mistreated for centuries, right? Their people for centuries have been mistreated, and it's a reminder of that. So can we just say, ah, you know what? We can put that away. It's not the end of the world. Like, nobody can do that, though. We're not allowed. We're not allowed to be, like, common sense, and we're not allowed to be just considerate. We have to be like, no, this is a big deal to me. I don't want to be told what to do. Well, how about this? How about just do it yourself? Again, how about some common courtesy? And I know how difficult that is. You see how much common courtesy is lacking when you look at crowds of people shopping on Black Friday, or when you see how people drive on the highways. Like, common courtesy is just not a thing anymore. Everybody's all about my individual choice. I want to do it. Well, you know, sometimes you can just be nice. Sometimes it's okay to just say, you know what? Even if I don't think this should go away, it's not a big deal. It doesn't change whether or not I'm going to enjoy the quality baseball team that I have that's in the World Series. And that's that. I mean, I really don't. I guess the problem here is I don't think that this in and of itself, you know, the tomahawk chop, I don't think that it's that big of a thing to fight it over it. I mean, if you're a person of Native American heritage, and it's bothersome to you because it's very stereotypical, and, you know, it depicts your people, you know, in a way that isn't respectful. I mean, I can understand that. I may not totally see it because I'm not in that position. I'm just not. But I think it's okay to have empathy for people. I think it's okay to say, this isn't a big deal. We can do something else. There are all kinds of ways that sports fans make noise about their team. And that's it. Like, I don't get why the pushback is so strong and so angry. Is it really that big of a deal to just say, guys, maybe there's a better way to make noise for your team? You know? I know somebody's hearing that and thinking that it's unreasonable and that you're just caving in. Not everything has to be a fight, man. It doesn't all have to be a fight. Let's save the fights. You know, this is the interesting thing to me. As an observer of how the world works, people get mad when the people they disagree with want to pick a fight about something they think is inconsequential. But then they do turn around and do it the same way when it's their turn to have something that they don't like. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're really defensive about something like the tomahawk chop, you know, I don't understand why anybody should be angry about this. Well, then, you know, you shouldn't be worried about other people defending something that they think is important to them. I mean, just again, let's try to take these things to where, you know, there's actual meaning in something. Like, if you need to fight a fight over something important, public policy, you know, something to do with your kids or whatever, that's one thing. But when it's simply a chant at a sporting event, can't you just let it go? Can't you just be like, all right, it's not that big a deal. My team's awesome. That's what I care about. That's why I'm there. You know, I love my team. I followed them forever. That's why I'm there. The chant itself isn't going to change my ability to have enjoyment at the game. But of course, we can't do that because it's not allowed. You know, it is allowed, but it's just not accepted. Because, you know, I've enjoyed things a certain way my whole life, and I don't want to change. And that's what it comes down to. Even if it really doesn't mean anything. So, again, not a congressional issue to me. This is not something that, you know, anybody needs to be fired over. It's not something that we need to scream and yell about. I'm just asking a question. Like, is it really that hard to hear that there are a lot of people? It doesn't have to be everyone within a specific group. It doesn't have to be everyone within the Native American community, but there's a sizable number of people that feel like it's patronizing, that it's stereotypical, that it's demeaning. What's so hard about listening to them and saying, "Yeah, you know, this thing isn't really that important anyway, maybe we're all right without it." But again, I know people aren't going to be that way because, you know, their own experience at the stadium is more important than being considerate to someone else. All right, let's wrap this up because I know I'm not going to get anywhere. And if you disagree with me, you're probably yelling at your radio. And if you agree with me, you're probably going, yeah, you got it. So I tried. I just wanted to try to take a rational approach to it because it's not something that people need to get freaky about. And it's really not that big of a deal. And, you know, you can't say, well, slippery slope. Well, all right, but then everything is part of a slippery slope. Literally everything could be. So then you just don't do anything? You don't change anything? You don't fix anything? You don't try to make anything better because, well, that could lead to something else. This thing right here, this ain't going, it's not going to change how anybody lives their lives, right? I mean, if you're a Braves fan or a Chiefs fan and you love the tomahawk chop, if you can't do it at a game or they just don't play the music at a game, what does that really do to you? What does that really take away from you? Not a lot. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. Let's talk about the Blues next up. Interesting night last night. First loss to the Avalanche. Not a big deal for me there. I want to talk about a couple of interesting notes as far as how the game played out. We want to talk a little bit about Jordan Binnington's stick-waving thing. And obviously we'll get a little bit into Blues and Blackhawks tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Enterprise Center. So we'll talk about the Blue Note next up on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's dive in to some Blues. You know, Blues off to a great start, no question. You know, again, no question there are things that need to be better. I mean, you know, I think Craig Berube summed it up pretty well last night that, you know, they just weren't as good as the Avalanche. You mentioned the Avalanche seemed hungrier last night, said the Blues didn't have their good legs last night. And again, I don't think that means fatigue. I just means that that means that they're not skating well enough. They're not, you know, kind of keeping their feet moving, doing all these cliche things that matter. But, you know, you hear coaches all the time, right? You got to move your feet, keep your feet moving, keep your feet moving. That's pretty much every sport, keep your feet moving. But the overall returns so far are really good. And I think that, you know, when we talk about the longer term here, it's a long regular season. You know, I don't want to say that the Blues are, you know, destined for a long playoff run. We have no idea what's going to happen for the next 5-6 months. We don't have any idea about injuries, but they're set up well. I looked at ESPN.com today, their power rankings, and they've got the Blues at the number 4 spot in the power rankings. Now, keep in mind, power rankings are not predictions. They are simply a reflection of where things are at the moment. But here's what they said about it, and this is what I think is interesting to me. It says the Blues are a perfect 5-0-0, so this was obviously before last night. And they lead the league in scoring, have an enviable depth of offensive options, and along with excellent special teams, including the league's second-best power play, and Jordan Binnington's hot start, it all combines to make St. Louis look like the real deal. And I would agree. I think they are. I think this team is assuming health holds up, because we know that injuries really tore them apart last year. Assuming that the health holds up, they're legit. I mean, you've got four lines that can create danger, three lines that are really good. And again, this is even, you know, most of this early part of the year when you're 5-1-0, you haven't had everybody through a bunch of these games. But if you look at some of the good signs, well, first of all, the two young guys that we've talked about for breakout years have really been there. You know, Jordan Kyrou's got 9 points in 6 games. Robert Thomas has 6 points in 6 games. And, you know, he can't sleep on the fact that he's being helped by playing with Vladdy Tarasenko. And Tarasenko looks great here early on in the season. You know, he's got 8 points in 6 games. He's been on a hot streak here the last few. And, you know, those things are important. And I know I mentioned this last night, but I think that, you know, I don't know if I want to say that Tarasenko is at the center of everything, you know, like how he goes, this team will go. But I think there's something to that. You know, Ryan O'Reilly is the team's best all-around player. And they certainly have, you know, David Perron as a leader and a scorer. And you certainly have Braden Schenn as both of those things, right? A leader and an offensive producer. But, you know, they haven't had Vladimir Tarasenko at anything close to 100% for a long time. He played 24 games last year and was never himself. You know, the year before that, he played 10 games. You know, so you're seeing a team that is, you know, has one of the best scorers in the Western Conference back and performing like one of the better scorers in the Western Conference. And that's got a double benefit for the team. I mean, obviously, it's helping you win games, makes you a better, more dangerous team. It's a big reason why that power play has been so good. But it also, even if, you know, the anger doesn't soften, even if he maintains that desire to get traded, I mean, the better he plays, the better return you're going to get in a deal. You know, if you get to, you know, the midway point of the season and you're looking to make a trade and this guy's up there, you know, averaging a point per game, yeah, you're going to get a nice return. You're going to get a lot more, obviously, than you could have during the offseason. And I think, so it's a, you know, and if he sticks around, well, obviously you'd love to have that kind of offensive threat. And it looks like that to me, again, I know a few other people have mentioned this. I think JT and JR both mentioned it on Twitter last night. But man, that line with Thomas, Tarasenko, and Barbashev looks fantastic. And even Barbashev, you know, this is a guy that you think about mostly as like, third, fourth line guy. He's got 6 points in 6 games. And it doesn't hurt, again, to be playing with, you know, an elite sniper and a guy like Thomas that's a hell of a playmaker. So I think it's okay for Blues fans to start to get excited here. I don't think anything about this is lucky. I don't think anything about this start is in any way deceiving. I think this is legit. Again, it doesn't mean you're going to be first place in the conference or anything like that. I just mean the general quality of the team puts you in the group of contenders. And, you know, that's where they were before the lockout. I'm not the lockout. Before the shutdown. Different term, Wheeler. But before the shutdown, because of COVID, you know, you were the best team in the West. And you were the second best team in the entire National Hockey League. And I think this team is more like that. And keep in mind that that was happening without really anything from Vladdy. You know, again, not to say that you didn't have other good players, but you didn't have Tarasenko that year for the most part. I mean, he only played 10 games. So you were the best team in the West and the second best team in the NHL without him. Now, look, I know you had Alex Pietrangelo. That was a big deal. And we're still trying to sort out exactly how the defensive group is going to come together. So, again, there are differences for sure. But, you know, that team had plenty of depth like this one. But I think this one's got more. This is probably the deepest team, for at least in terms of the forwards, that I've covered since I came here in 2006. And, of course, you know, those early years, that's not saying a lot because those teams didn't have a whole lot of talent. But, you know, there have been a lot of good hockey teams in town here in the last 10 years. And I'd say that, you know, this one has the makings of a deep playoff run if you're healthy at that time and if you can continue to get the solid goaltending or better than solid goaltending. Because, look, playoffs are a lot about what the goalie's doing at that time. You know, if your goalie's on fire when you get to that postseason, I mean, like we saw Binnington during the cup run, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it takes to make the cup run, right? Some part of your team being extraordinarily hot. And if it's not the goalie, well, then you obviously need to be scoring goals. I think they've got the ability to handle that. And last night, it's just a game. I think we saw some things that might be good reminders. Coaching staffs like getting that opportunity from time to time to say, see, I've been telling you guys this. When you don't do this, you're not going to like the result. And we saw last night, first two periods weren't as sharp, a little sluggish. Third period was a lot better, but by then it was too late. Now, tomorrow night, the Blues have the Blackhawks, and I mean, they're just, things could not be any worse for the Blackhawks right now. Their GM just had to step down because of the sexual assault scandal, the story that comes from 2010 and Kyle Beach. You've got a lot of questions hanging over some of your star veteran players with that investigation or with that story. You know, who knew what? When did they know it? And how did they handle it when teammates were, you know, verbally abusing Kyle Beach? I mean, there's a lot of those questions hanging around. I don't think any of that's going to come up tomorrow night, you know, with us or anything like that. But they've got that stuff on a regular basis right now. They're off to a god-awful start. They're 0-5-2. And again, I'd say this. If the Blues come out quick, if they jump early, you'll probably see the Blackhawks start to feel sorry for themselves a little bit. Again, everything's been going badly. Not scoring goals. You know, they got 14 goals in 7 games. They're not playing well defensively, and you've got the off-the-ice problems. If you can jump them early, you put yourself in a position where, you know, I'm not going to say they'll quit, but they might. You might kind of dampen that enthusiasm, probably the best way to put it. And so I think the start for tomorrow night's game is a big deal. I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Enterprise Center. All right, next up. My boss tweeted this a little bit ago. Our program director, Steve Moore, tweeted this a little bit ago. He said, apparently crime does pay in the NFL, and like literally pay. And we'll hit on this with Roger Goodell next up here on KMOX. All right, talking a little football here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX, and a couple quick things here on the NFL. One is a story that comes out every year, and every year I scratch my head, and every year people get on social media and they're like, how is this even possible? And what I want to tell you is it's possible because the NFL makes ridiculous amounts of money, right? And because the owners value a commissioner that will take all the bullets for them, right? You want to know, so the report came out this week that Roger Goodell has made $128 million over the last 2 years. $64 million. In other words, $20 million more than Patrick Mahomes will make this year as the highest paid player in the NFL. $20 million more. Almost 50% more than the highest paid player. And Roger Goodell doesn't sell a ticket. Roger Goodell doesn't get anybody to tune in on TV. All he is a bulletproof vest. That's what he is. He takes all the bullets for owners. the whole Daniel Snyder thing going on. They have this big-ass investigation. 650,000 emails have been examined as a part of an investigation into sexual harassment in the workplace. And they only, and they're not putting out anything. And they say they didn't put out the Gruden stuff, but I'm not believing them. But they're not going to release any of it. They're not going to, they won't even release a report on the investigation. They just said, investigation's over. Daniel Snyder is going to pay a fine of $10 million, and his wife is going to take over day-to-day operations of the team for a little while. And that's pretty much it. Well, again, who's going to take the heat for that? Well, I mean, of course, Snyder does, but Roger Goodell is there to take those bullets. That's what he is. He is paid $64 million a year to be the guy that takes the heat for owners. Because what he's doing is what they want. But if he's the focal point of people's criticism, well, then it's not fixated on the owners. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that the man is incompetent. I mean, you know, he clearly has done good things in the job. He's also clearly screwed some things up really badly. I mean, he has botched a lot of issues with the NFL. From Ray Rice to, I mean, good Lord, how many of these things do we have? How many of these scandals do we have to have before we start to understand? I mean, he's been all over at times. He's all, you know, for a long time there, he was one of the many people that were, you know, poo-pooing the stories about traumatic brain injury and concussions. And then shortly after all that, it's like, oh, well, we're going to take care of our players. And there is no person occupying a commissioner's office in a professional sport who has that much real value. You could replace Roger Goodell with someone making one-tenth of that money, with someone making $6 million a year, and they would do just as good a job. But see, it pays to be a made man. It pays to be in the old boys club. You know, Goodell is one of those true believers, man. Started off as an intern with the NFL. It's all he's ever known. But in reality is, and, you know, again, you know, I think that we've joked about this before, but, you know, the NFL definitely has some resemblance to the mob. Now, again, they're not out killing people, but, you know, just the way that they push people around, the way that they're going to find a way to get what they want, regardless of what the rules say. And Goodell's the conciliary. You know, he's not the boss, but he's the guy that is going to try to, you know, he's the legitimate face of it all, right? He's the guy that is a lawyer, he can fix some problems, all that stuff. And it's super frustrating to know that it is the way that it is, because it could easily be so much better. But I do think the NFL has shown what it is. I mean, what it is an ultra money hungry organization. And again, I'm talking about all of the owners, and of course this ties into Stan Kroenke, right? I mean, you know, they're finding out now. The other owners are finding out now what Stan's all about. But the funny thing is, a lot of these guys are like this. Daniel Snyder's the same way. Jerry Jones is the same way. And the more that the NFL ownership group sways toward the rogue billionaire type, the guys that just don't care about anything but growing their self-worth, well, self-worth, that might be a Freudian slip on my part because they clearly have issues with their self-worth, but growing their net worth, it's all they care about. They don't care who they have to step on to get what they want. And I think it's absolutely hilarious that this band of billionaires now has to deal with Kroenke the same way that everybody else has had to deal with him over the years. And I made this analogy earlier, so if you heard it earlier, well, I'm sorry, you're hearing it again. And if you didn't, you can tell me that I'm crazy. But to me, Kroenke is essentially the Joker in the Dark Knight. Right, you know the scene where all the crime lords are meeting and they don't know what to do about Batman and they're trying to figure out a way to do all this, and Joker comes in, hurts a couple dudes, makes his point, and they end up saying, okay, We'll pay you, and I'm, you know, loose summary here. We'll pay you to take out Batman. You get half our money if you can take out Batman. And in the end, as we know, the Joker turns on all of them. He ends up burning the money. And he ends up burning, by the way, all of the money, not just the half that he was due, all of it. And that's Dan Kroenke. That's essentially what's happened here, right? Just substitute the L.A. situation for Batman. The NFL needed to figure out the L.A. situation. They wanted a team there. How do we make it happen? And here comes Stan Kroenke. I can make it happen for you guys, but it's going to cost you. And they're all like, hey, all right, you know, we'll figure it out. You know, Jerry Jones was his henchman, and he pounded the table, and he got everybody to agree. So they do this agreement with Stan, and he pretends that he's going to indemnify them against any damages. Like, I'll agree to those. And then how here we are. He's already burnt. He's starting to burn their money now. He's poured gasoline on their money because right now they're all facing a lawsuit. And if they lose, he's trying to back out of the indemnification agreement that said he would have to pay for all those losses. So now all these owners are sitting here looking at their piles of cash with gasoline being poured all over it. And they're like, what do we do? What do we do with this guy? Because, you know, this is who he is. This is who he is. Had somebody on Twitter the other day, you know, use the old scorpion and the frog story, right? Why did the scorpion sting the frog when they were in the middle of water? Because I'm a scorpion. That's what I do. That's who I am. You knew that. Well, that's Stan Kroenke. He's the scorpion. And I actually enjoy the fact that other owners have to deal with this. I really do hope that all of this ends in a positive resolution of some kind for all of us in St. Louis. You know, I would love to see more revenue available to fix problems. And if, you know, if it ends up being a team that, you know, an expansion team or a team gets moved or anything like that, like if it happens to be that, then okay, that's also a way to bring revenue into the city and all that. But you know, there's a big part of me that doesn't want a settlement. There's a big part of me that wants the fight, that wants the court case to go to public, that wants to air out the dirty laundry. Win or lose, even if it meant losing. There's a part of me that wants that. I know there's the smarter part of me that wants a positive outcome. But there's also that part of me that's like, I just want to see them squirm. I just want to see all of them have to get on the stand. All right, one more quick thing that I want to get into before we run out of time on a Friday night. I've been complaining for a couple of years now. Ever since sports betting was made legal by the federal government, and again, legal meaning states can decide what to do on their own. No longer against federal law to have sports gambling. Been wondering for a long time, what the hell Missouri's waiting for? What are we doing? What's the holdup? Well, we got a story actually tonight in the Post-Dispatch that said there's some powerful people that are making a push, and I'll tell you about that next on KMOX. All right, so we don't have a whole lot of time left here, but I want to get into this before I run out of time heading into the weekend. I just saw this a couple of hours ago in the Post-Dispatch. News came across from Kurt Erickson that says that the Cardinals, Blues, St. Louis City, and the Kansas City Royals have filed ballot initiatives in the state of Missouri to help legalize sports betting. And look, you know, I understand that there was opposition to this kind of thing for a long time. It was always illogical. It has all, I mean, it's you know, to me, not accepting sports betting, not accepting legalized marijuana, it's the same thing as we dealt with during Prohibition. It doesn't make any sense. People are still doing those things. They're doing them illegally, and they could be generating tax revenue that could help people and could make the roads better or the schools better or whatever. And I get it. I get it. I don't trust the politicians. Well, okay, but that has nothing to do with anything. You either are going to have more of this money or you're not. And I don't get all of the political reasons why this hasn't happened, because I haven't really dug into it too much. But maybe, hopefully, having the biggest sports entities in town, not sure why the Chiefs aren't in there, but maybe they will join in at some point. But because the NFL is all in on gambling, all in. And by the way, all good by me. And, you know, look, the sports leagues, they sent out a release as a part of this that said, you know, we support the legalization of sports wagering in Missouri as a way to increase engagement with our fans and provide a fun and exciting new way to enjoy sports and root for our teams. We also believe that sports wagering will generate a significant new source of tax revenue for Missouri. And again, all those things are true. They left out the one reason why they're doing it, though. It's because it'll make them money, too. Like, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. And that's okay, by the way. It's okay that they benefit from it. They're businesses. And, look, I don't know why we seem to be stuck so far behind. And there are already a couple dozen states that have made sports betting legal. Some of these states are starting to rake in significant amounts of money. And why not just step into the breach and generate whatever extra revenue can come? What's the harm? I mean, again, you know, anybody that's out there worried about, well, you know, people are gambling their money. Well, yeah, well, people are buying lottery tickets that shouldn't be buying lottery tickets too. You know, people can go gamble all they want at a casino. How's that any different than being able to bet on a game? Why are we selectively choosing what you can bet on and what you can't? And, of course, we all know how this works too. There are lobbying interests who have influence over certain people in certain positions in state government or whatever, and they push against it. And after time, it just finally breaks. And you know, you get a team or a set of teams like this with the Cardinals, Blues, STL City, and the Royals getting involved and saying, "All right, guys, we've been sitting around on this too long. We want to give it a little push," because that's what this sounds like to me. Like, all right, this is a little push. Let's go. We want this issue to get some attention. And we're going to take some steps that we can take to help make it happen. And there's no logical, rational reason for it to not happen. Whatever reasons there are emotional. You know, people are like, well, it's, you know, people are going to gamble away. They're saying, yeah, you know, people are doing that now. It's not going to change. Maybe some of the money you raise in taxes could be going to help treat people that have gambling addictions. Because right now, they can gamble. They just can't do it legally. So, you know, they're doing it illegally, which makes it easier to run up debt that you can't pay. I've had plenty of friends, you know, over the years. Good friend of mine in the radio business years ago owed so much money to bookies that he had to have his parents bail him out. This is a guy that was in his mid-20s, and he was betting thousands of dollars on games. And all of it was, you know, he didn't have that kind of money. He was making $25,000 a year back in the late 90s. He wasn't making big money, but he was betting thousands of dollars on games because he could. Because the bookies are like, sure, sucker. Sure. Go ahead and make that bigger bet. I gotcha. Because eventually they're going to come collect because they know, we all know, over time, the house wins. The bookies win. That's why they're in business. Well, at least if it's legal, you can somewhat regulate some of that, right? If you go to a sports book or if you're doing it on an app, you can only bet what you have in your account. You can only, you know, bet with the cash that you put down on the table if you're doing it at a sports book, for example. You're not just calling up some guy. I'm like, hey, I know I'm behind, but, you know, if you can front me 5 G's, you know, that'll cover me if I win, right? And they'll be like, sure, sucker. Because when you lose, you're going to owe me 10. And I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, if you want to help people, that's where you help them. You know, we do need to kind of get out of this cycle of just not changing because, well, you know, these people that I know, they don't want it to happen. Or, you know, for whatever reason, still being stuck in the past thinking it's not okay or there's some kind of moral argument against it. There isn't. If there's no moral argument against lottery tickets, gambling in a casino, buying booze, whatever, then there's no argument against this. No moral argument. And I'm not even a gambler. Like, if I did this, you know, I'd probably bet $20 a week, maybe. I'm pretty disciplined on that kind of stuff because I've seen forever being in this business that if you're just going to bet and bet and bet, you're just going to lose. You do it for fun here and there, and you leave it at that. So, I mean, I'm not even a person that has a bookie. I'm not somebody that bets. I just don't see the logic against it. So I thought that story was interesting with the Cardinals, Blues, STL City, and the Royals. Making the point that, hey, guys, it's time to get off your butts. Let's get things moving. All right, that's going to wrap us up for the week, man. I'm going to go watch some World Series baseball, Astros and Braves. Nothing in the bottom of the second inning. We'll catch up with you again on Monday. You guys have a great weekend, and enjoy the college football and the NFL over the weekend too, man. We got a lot to talk about when we come back next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.